Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe. Here we are today. I'm flying solo by myself today. We're going to have a really good time. We're answering a really, really good question that we get asked a lot over the years while we've been traveling. And it's kind of the basic one. Somebody say, man, how do you have a relationship with God? You know, I mean, do you pray three times a day? Do you spit in the wind? Do you shave your head? I mean, you know, do you fast every day? What do you do? And it's really simple. It's in the Word of God how you do that. But when I was working with high school students, they would ask the most questions. They would be probably the most blunt of anybody because they didn't care about being embarrassed. So they just ask you straight up. How do you have a relationship with God? I said, well, God loves to have a relationship with people. So I'd always go back to the Bible. So let's just go back to the beginning. You just got God and Adam. And the Bible says they walked together every day. Every day, God would come down and he'd walk with Adam. And they would talk and they would visit. And they would, religious word, they'd fellowship. They just talked to each other. They knew each other. And said, one of my favorite scriptures, you know, in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says the member of the council, they brought these Christians before them because they're upset what's going on. And it said they perceived that these ignorant and unlearned men had been with Jesus. Evidently, what was coming out of the mouth is what they've been listening to. They've been listening to what the Lord had been teaching them. And, man, they were spreading it all over the world. So I'll just give you a few basic scriptures because people, again, I get asked every seminar, whether it's a marriage seminar, a parenting seminar, a financial seminar, a seminar on men. People said, man, how do you have a relationship with God? I said, it's not that deep, guys. It's just not that deep. It's a decision. You decide some point during the day, hey, I'm going to take a minute, and I'm probably just going to open my Bible and read something. And I tell people, especially men's meetings, I say, guys, just get a proverb. Read a proverb a day. It's not real deep. You can do it in about 2 minutes. Just read a proverb a day. It will change your life. The Bible says the Spirit of God will bring to your remembrance what you fed on, what you've read. But if you've not read it, he can't remind you. God won't cheat. He will not remind you of anything you've not studied or read. So I kind of got these basic concrete scriptures that I try to give them when I do this. Like, you know, Joshua 1:8, you know, if you meditate in the word day and night, you'll prosper and have good success. Well, as a father and as a husband, you know, as a businessman, I can't afford to not go broke. Going broke's not an option. I need to succeed in what I do. So I'm always trying to, you know, need to show up on time, make sure you're clean shaven, you smell real good, you bathe on a regular basis, you got nice breath. You know something about something. People don't hire you because you need a job. They hire you because you're good at something. So what are you good at? So there's some basic things of life. Just we used to train the young people and men like, guys, these are not options. You got to know something. But basically, you need to know God. And because you're going to run into stuff you've never had this situation before. And God knows the answer. God will guide you in all truth. He'll show you things to come. He will talk to you when you go to sleep, when you wake up. So it's important that you're talking to God. It's kind of like milking a cow. You know, I grew up in the country. If you don't grab the udder, the milk doesn't come out. There's something you have to do first. You know, God says, you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. You ask me a question, I'll answer. You seek me, I'll see that you find me. You knock on the door and I'll open it up. But God says, if you stare at me, I'll stare back. It takes faith to move God. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you don't whip the devil. What's faith? It's just believing what the Bible said is true. So, you know, there's Bibles everywhere. You know, people give you one for free. You know, you got a church, they'll probably give you one for free. You don't have one. Get your Bible, open it up. Just start with Proverbs. I tell people, just start with Proverbs. You got 31 of them. You got one a day. Try that for a few months. Just read a proverb a day. And if you miss a day, don't worry about it. Just go on to the next one. You can come back and pick it up next month. But sometime, eventually, you've got to get in the Word of God. That's where the relationship starts. John 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But so how do you find God? Well, he's in a book. You know, they're not going to write volume 2. Volume 1 is still the one they're using. It's still the Word. It's lasted forever. It's going to be here forever. God watches over his Word and perform it. So You want to know God, you got to know his word. See, what are you going to do? Well, you got to read it. People, well, I don't read well. Well, they've got it so you can listen to it. Man, you can listen to it on iPad, iPhone, your cell phone. You can download it for free and just have somebody reading scripture to you. I said, it's really easy to do. If you want it bad enough, you can find it. So somewhere eventually you're going to start meditating on the word of God. Psalm 1, verse 2 says, these people that were very successful, they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Now, he's talking about people who were successful in whatever they did. How come they got success? Was it their IQ? Was it their GPA? Were they born with a silver spoon in their mouth? No, they're meditating on the word day and night. Now, guys, I'm normal like everybody else. You know, I don't wake up feeling that spiritual. I wake up with the same bad breath everybody else wakes up with. I got to brush my teeth and gargle and get dressed. But if somewhere in that day, somewhere, I've got to find some time to open that Bible and read something. Because it feeds me, and the Spirit of God is going to bring to my remembrance. I quoted Joshua 1:8 a while ago. It says, if you meditate in the word day and night, you'll prosper and succeed in all you do. Well, that's what I'm trying to do, guys. That's kind of a selfish thing. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to succeed. I need to succeed. I've had failure, and it's not good. I need to succeed. How am I going to do that? Well, I need God's help. I need to talk to God, meditate on what he said, feed on the word of God. That's how you have a relationship. You know, I hope somebody can look at me and say, Joe, we perceive Joe has been with God. And they're going to know that by what I say and what I do and the way I act and the way I think. We're going to, well, he's been hanging out with God evidently. So I like this. James 4:6 says, God says, you come close to me, I'll come close to you. It's like playing checkers. I move, God moves. I don't move, God won't move. God doesn't cheat. So the relationship is up to me. Another thing you got to realize about having a relationship, God really likes to be thanked. There's just a ton of scriptures on this, but when I was teaching high school students years ago, I kind of hung out on Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. When you come before God, you don't become just mouthing. God likes to be thanked. God has four creatures around the throne of God with six wings and eyeballs and every side of the body. All they do for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as we know time, is they praise God. God created four angels that don't do anything but praise God. All they do is they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. So God loves praise. The Bible says God inhabits praise. The Bible talks about praise. It's the most powerful thing you'll ever do. And I've had so many men in my life when I was a kid going to church, you know, I'm not going to that praise stuff. I'm going to wait to throw the meat on the grill. Well, if you don't get into the praise, you're going to choke on that meat. You don't swallow it as good because praise invites the presence of God. I tell people, if you're going through a hard time, best thing you can do is just get in the back room or get out in the backyard, get your hands up and start thanking God. I mean, if you got hell running up in your armpits, what are you going to do? I'm going to take a minute and thank God. Father, I don't know what's going on, but I thank you. You're my deliverer. You're my redeemer. You're my savior. You're my protector. You're my provider. God, I just want to take a minute and thank you for being you, just being you, God. I don't know what's going on, but I know you have me in your heart. You have me on your mind. There's so many angels around me. I can't count them, that you're for me. You're not against me. God inhabits praise. So people say, hey, your relationship. Well, I can't make in life without God. I tried that one time. I need God every day. So what do you do? Well, I know what he likes. What's he like? He likes to be thanked and he likes praise. So, man, I got it on a regular basis. Man, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I start every morning thanking God. You know, just open up your mouth. Say, God, it's going to be a great day today. This is the day you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'll give you this. This is a great one. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, that means all of it, is inspired by God. It's good. All of it's inspired by God. And it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. And it corrects us. Now, the word of God is my guide, but it's also my compass. Hey, what's going on in your life? Well, I don't know, but I was reading some scriptures this morning. I think it may be this. I think I was thinking wrong. I think I was doing the wrong thing. I think I was expecting the wrong thing. Because the Bible constantly corrects and amends and repairs where you're going. Because, you know, again, it goes back, think on these things. I got to think God's thought, not my thought. I don't want to think what I'm thinking. I need to cast those thoughts down. Those thoughts try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Colossians 3:2 says this, think about things of heaven, not things on the earth. I used to tell my kids, think about where you're going, not where you're at. You don't get occupied about where you are. Think about, okay, tomorrow we're going to do this, and I think we're planning this, we're going to plan this. The Bible says man makes his plans, but God orders his steps. A man makes his plans, but God orders his steps. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ and all of its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel one another with the scripture. It's really good. Then Hebrews 4:16, this is the great one. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and help in time of need. So how do you have a relationship with God? Well, every day of my life, I sit down the night before. I think, well, tomorrow I've got this coming up. I've got a planner. I've got a wall calendar. It's a month long. Okay, here's where we're going this week. We're going this on Thursday. This is happening on Saturday. Next Tuesday, we're doing this. Next Wednesday, we're doing that. We're recording this on Friday. You know, because I fly all the time, so I need to have an idea of where I'm going or who I'm going to meet and what I'm going to do when I get there. But what that does is that makes me always think the night before I go to sleep, okay, what's coming up tomorrow? Well, I've got it written down. Everybody keeps some sort of daytime or day plan or something. Keep a handwritten calendar in your pocket. What's going on? Because your brain will only hold so much, and your brain will leak out. And it's happened to everybody. Oh, is that your birthday? Oh, man, is that her anniversary? I forgot. Why? And it's usually somebody you love or somebody you respect, your spouse, your children. So what happened? Well, I got real busy. So you need to write certain things down. You know, keep a written record of what you're going to do. Now, what I do is like, how do you have a relationship? Well, God hangs out with people that hang out with him. And they say, how do you hang out with God? I go back and say it again. Guys, get your Bible open, read a proverb a day. If you read a proverb a day for a month, it will change your life forever. Because you begin to realize something. The Spirit of God will bring to your remembrance what you study. And all of a sudden, you'll be in something. You'll think, hey, I read a scripture about this yesterday, about that. That's what God was dealing with about yesterday. Yeah, God was showing you things to come. God is ordering your steps. He's guiding your path. He's helping you do that. But what you have to do, you got to guard your heart with all diligence for out of into the issues of life. Watch what you feed on. People used to laugh at our parenting seminar and said, listen, guys, I have normal kids. They're normal. They got flesh. They do dumb stuff. They get a chance. That's why we as parents were given to our children. Children are a gift from God, but they're only with us for a certain amount of time. Then we're to give them back to God. Well, it says I'm supposed to teach and train my children. And basically it's like, well, make them mine. No, that's not. It's true. You're not supposed to make them mine. You don't let them do dumb stuff. But I'm trying to teach you how to think. I want to teach you how to think and what to feed on and what to watch and what to listen to. Guard your heart. It's real important to guard your heart. It says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever you've been feeding on the most, that's what's going to come up. And hell never makes an appointment. Hell never sends you cards. Hey, by the way, I'm coming at 3:30 tomorrow. Hell never makes an appointment. It just shows up. So you need to be prepared. You need to be, if you're so loaded in the Word of God, it doesn't matter. I'm not afraid of what's going on. God's already got a way out. God's going to order my steps. I got angels all around me. God's going to protect me. Whatever the devil steals, he's got to pay back seven times. So I've got to get my head set on what it is God's doing. So I do that by hanging out with him on some sort of regular basis. Now, as carnal as you can make it, I tell most men, if they come to our ministry, guys, if you'll read a proverb a day for the rest of your life, that's probably 2 minutes max, maybe three. If you'll give out of your 24 hours, out of 24 hours, if you'll just give God 2 or 3 minutes, it'll change your life. It will change your life because that's going to put you way ahead of the curve. I like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and everything that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. The devil uses thoughts. God uses thoughts. That's why we're told, think on these things. Don't think on those things. We're told what to think. Well, you got a decision to make. What are you going to meditate on? I think I'm going to meditate on the Word of God. If I can't remember any scriptures, that's why it's in print. Open your Bible and read something out loud to yourself. You know, you remember what you read to yourself anyhow. Philippians 4, verse 8. Now, brothers and sisters, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely. Think about all the excellent things that are worthy of praise. Good Lord, that's good. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. Proverbs 14:7, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Oh, that's a good one. Like this, we go back to Joshua 1:8. If you meditate in the word day and night, 2 or 3 minutes a day in a proverb, guys. And what that does, it'll create a hunger for other scripture. You might read that and you think, well, that's not much. Well, it creates a hunger. It's just sort of got its own hunger because the word is powerful. It scares hell. God made something so unique. You know, he said, Jesus spoke to the mountain. He spoke to the devil. He spoke to the storm. When God needed something to happen in the sun, he spoke to it. He didn't speak about it. Oh my goodness, what's this? Oh dear goodness, I didn't see this. Oh, what is this problem? No, he spoke to the problem, not about the problem. So I'll just give you a few scriptures on this. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word, God, is a lamp to my feet. It is a light to my path. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, do not let me wander from your commandments. For your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and he healed them. Where does God's power come from? It comes from the word of God. Psalm 130, verse 5. I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. People say, Joe, you sure are a positive person. I said, that's not a personality thing. That's a God thing. Because I realize God, throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God helped people who were in a mess. He helped people who were in trouble, people that had sinned, people that had done the wrong thing, made a wrong turn, done the wrong decision. God loves to redeem. He's called a redeemer. What are you going to do? Well, I'll fix the mess you've made if you'll let me. I thought, well, Lord, that would be really good to have that in my back pocket. I would love to know that you're going to do that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. Now the tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, when I taught high school students for years, I said, guys, what scares the devil is the word of God coming out of your mouth. It is the only offensive weapon you possess. You need to learn how to say what God says. Say what God says. And this comes up all the time because I taught intercessory prayer at a local church for about 10 years. And people say, you believe in prayer? Yep, nothing happens unless you pray. Faith has to say something, Hebrews says. Without faith, I don't please God. Well, faith speaks. It says, I need to say what God says, not what I'm thinking. And I've had times, we've all had them where you get concerned. The Bible says, roll your cares over in God, for he cares for you. We've all been there. It was like, man, I'm thinking too much. How are we going to do this? How's this going to work out? How are we going to get paid for this? How are we going to get this? Man, we don't have enough money. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough patience. No, God said, I've already supplied all of your needs for my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've got the peace of God that passes all understanding, keeping my heart and my mind by Christ Jesus. God's going to work all things out to my good. I walk with a shield of divine favor, Psalm 5:2. God surrounds me with divine favor. People like me, they don't even know why. You've got to start saying what God says. So the reason I put the word of God, so what do you, I got to make the word of God a priority of my life. Why? Because it is my life. It's where my life's going. I've got to make sure that that's the number one priority. I've got to have a relationship with God, and it comes through spending time in his word. And I just give you these. These are some good things. I used to teach prayer. Try to keep it real simple. So I just give you these. Let's just go with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This is real simple. Pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that? Listen, I can pray when I mow the grass and I'm driving to work. I can pray when I'm helping kids with the homework. I can pray all the time. You don't have to bow your head and shave your head or suck a rug or close your eyes. Matter of fact, the Bible says watch and pray. So I just pray all the time. I don't have to wait to a holy moment when everything's quiet and the house is clean and the bills are paid. Best time to pray is when you got alligators up on your armpit. That's the best time to pray. You know, just stay saying what God says. If you can't think of anything God said, open Proverbs and read a proverb. It's really good. I like this, Ephesians 6, verse 18. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayer for believers everywhere. That means pray all kinds of prayer. James 5:16 says, the earnest prayer of a righteous man avails much, has great power, and produces wonderful results. What does? The earnest prayer of a righteous man. Well, how do you know you're righteous? Well, Jesus was made in me righteousness. I know I can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy in time of need. When do you need mercy? When you sinned on purpose. You premeditated sin. What do you need to do? Run to God, not away from him. You know, I remember used to when I was a kid, you see people that would miss church 2, 3, 4 weeks. Like, what happened? And you realize you'd hear events where they've sinned. They're trying to get their life cleaned up before they come back to church. You can't clean your life up. Only God can help you do that. You got to get back in the house of God, around the saints of God, around the people of God. And you just need to repent quick, forgive quick. You know, you don't get hung up on anything. Then I like this, Philippians 4:6-7. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So how do you have a relationship with God? I talk to him all the time. I mean, when you get up in the morning, I talk to God. Hey, God, I'm dealing with this. Hey, God, I've had this thought on my mind. Or maybe you wake up and you may be worried or concerned. Well, the Bible says roll your cares, but you got to be verbal about it. Hey, God, I kind of got concerns about this, so I'm going to roll this over on you. I thank you for working this out to my good. I'm going to do everything I can do about this, but I'm going to let you do the rest of it. And so I'm going to walk around the walls. You can knock them down. I'll lift up the staff. You can part the water, God. I got the easy part. You got the hard part. So to do that, having a relationship, you got to kind of reprioritize. So I want to summarize this. I got this list. I printed this out years ago. I had it on my computer. And I got a great thing about first things. So this just give me a few scriptures. It's first things. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He says, first of all, I want you to pray for all that in authority. So God said this, New Testament. Here's the first thing I want you to do. Pray for those in authority. What for? That you might live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Don't put bumper stickers on your car or truck about the president or your congressman or your senators. You're to pray for those in authority, not say bad things about them, because you know any country does well not by who's in office, but by the church that's in that country praying for those in office. So you got to keep priorities right. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things be added unto you. So first of all, I'm to pray for those in authority. I'm supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. Ephesians 6, I'm supposed to honor my father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise attached to it. Now, I've got families, big family. Because, well, I don't like my mom and dad. My dad never treated me right. My dad left my mom. My mom was crazy. You know, she's the drunk. Listen, you're to honor the office. I don't care what they did, what they said, you're to honor that office. You don't ever say anything bad about your parents. God bless them. Go with God. Pray the fear of God on them. Send layers across their path. But don't get caught up getting verbal because, man, the curse causes shall not come. You're going to sow stuff that's going to come back on your head. So don't ever do that. The second greatest thing you'll ever do is fear God. So I pray this every morning, and I say it before I go to bed at night. And my kids are all adults, married, and out of college, but I pray this all the time. Psalm 34:11 says, come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of God. Every morning, Father, I give you permission today to teach my children to fear you. Why? For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. Ooh, I like that. How do you get wisdom and knowledge? You need to fear God. How do you fear God? You need somebody to pray. You can either pray it yourself, or you can pray it for your kids. If you're a parent, Father, teach my family to fear you. Why? That is the beginning of wisdom, and that is the beginning of knowledge. With that wisdom, Proverbs 3:16, comes long life, riches, and honor. What do you want? I want long life, I want riches, and I want honor. Well, that's kind of selfish. No, it's mine. God gave it to me. But it comes with the fear of God. So every day you need to do it. Father, teach my family to fear you. And then it's the third thing, this last thing is desire. So how do you keep your children from going stupid or your family? The Lord, I want to pray. I'm going to pray for my kids. Psalm 20, verse 4. May God grant me my heart's desire and make all my plans succeed. Well, I want my family to succeed. I want my kids to succeed. I want to succeed. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, I want God to grant me my heart's desire. What do you think? I'm thinking God's thoughts. I really do. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Whoa, I like that one. Then Psalm 145, verse 19, he grants the desires of those who fear him. Remember I told you earlier, God teach my family to fear you. Why? God grants the desires of those who fear him. So that's kind of a summation. You realize something. What are you doing? Well, I want to have a really good life. So how's that start? Well, that starts with my relationship with God, because everything comes from God. My next breath comes from God. My life comes from God. My blessing comes from God. My prosperity comes from God. My protection comes from God. My joy comes from God. The peace I have comes from God. A good night's sleep comes from God. You know, divine favor comes from God. It all comes from God. So it's really good to have a good relationship with God. It's not a religious thing. I want to know. Listen, I tell people all the time, when you pray, God knows what you're going to say before you ever say it. God saw you before you were ever born. He knows what you're thinking before you thought it. You're never going to shock God with something. You're never going to go, hey, God, I'm in trouble. Well, I didn't know that, son. What's going on? He knows exactly. God's got the hairs of your head numbered, the days of your life numbered. God knows everything you're thinking and doing. God already loves you. He's already supplied an answer. He's just waiting for you to come to him. So I just want to make sure I keep a good relationship. I want to have a relationship with God. How do you do that? I hang out with his people, and I hang out in his word. Two things last forever, the word of God and the people of God. It kind of rearranges your priority. Everything else is going to disappear one day, but the people of God and the word of God is going to last forever. So rearrange your priorities and understand something. How do you have a right relationship? Well, spend time with them. people ought to be able to look at us and say, we perceive these ignorant and unlearned people have been with Jesus. That ought to be our testimony, guys. It's going to be really good. God bless, guys. You have a great day. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.